Today is the 7th of September 2025, and you are tuned to amateur radio station ZSX SRL. Coming up in the next few seconds, amateur radio today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be listening to us. You are tuned to amateur radio station ZSX SRL with the program Amateur Radio Today. A program that focuses on amateur radio, shortwave listening, and for electronic enthusiasts. I'm your host, Hans van der Groenendaal, ZSX Alpha Kilo Victor, and I live in the capital city of South Africa, Pretoria. Amateur Radio Today is presented and produced by the South African Radio League, the national body for amateur radio in South Africa. The first broadcast is on a Sunday morning at 8 hours UTC, 10 hours Central African Time, on many repeater stations around South Africa, also on the 40-meter band on 7115 kHz. And we welcome reception reports on that transmission. It comes to you from Louis in Kimberley. Please call in at the end of his transmission or send us an email to artoday@srl.org.za. We start our program today with the SRL News Bulletin, and for that we cross to Christiana. On the microphone is Herman Erasmus, ZS6CTA. First, the news headlines.
In the news today, the ZS SOTAR Spring Weekend 2025. Get ready for the Africa FT4DX contest. And the flight report on the ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu 12 Pico balloon. Stay tuned for more information on these and other interesting news items. Lunar eclipse this evening. From information received from the Boyden Observatory in Bloemfontein, the lunar eclipse, or blood moon, will start around 17 hours 28 CAT, with the full eclipse starting at 19 hours 30 until 20 hours 53. By 22 hours 55, the eclipse will be over. So, do not go to bed early this evening. Stay up and watch this eclipse. Will the eclipse have an effect on radio wave propagation? The ZS Summit on the Air Spring Weekend is just around the corner, taking place on Saturday 13 and Sunday 14 September. The European SOTAR Day takes place on Saturday 13 September, so there is an opportunity for DX contacts as well. More information is available on the SOTAR POTAR ZS WhatsApp group. And in the 2025 SARL contest manual, you will find information about logging your contacts. Please keep an ear open for the activators, most of who will be operating at relatively low power. Working a small pile-up makes the slog uphill absolute worthwhile. Get ready for the Africa FT4DX contest. Get your stations tuned and your software ready. You are cordially invited to participate in the Africa FT4DX contest, an exciting event designed to promote digital DX activity and highlight the growing use of the FT4 digital mode across the continent. Whether you are an experienced DX chaser, or just getting started with digital modes, this is a perfect opportunity to test your skills, make new contacts, and contribute to the SARL All Africa Awards. We have a dedicated category for non-African contestants, so everyone can join in the fun. Meet your neighbors and start counting African countries in your log. The contest runs from 15 to 18 hours UTC on Saturday 13 September using the FT4 digital mode, and you can work all licensed radio amateurs in Africa and the Indian and Atlantic Ocean Islands. There is a separate category for non-African contestants. The exchange is an RSQ report and 4-digit maidenhead grid locator. Remember, each QSO must be made by a human. The contest is hosted by the West Rand ARC, and for more details, contact the WRARC at info@zs6wr.co.za. Also, read the rules in the 2025 SARL contest manual. You're listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. Did you or your club participate in the SARL National Field Day this weekend? What about an article and photos for the October issue of Radio ZS? An A4 size portrait photo of your station in action could make the cover of this issue. Send your article in MS Word or Open Office, write to Radio ZS at sarl.org.za. Please do not use WhatsApp. The flight report on the ZS1 ERZ-12 Pico balloon. On Saturday, 16 August, Stewart, ZR1 Whiskey Tango, in collaboration with the Eden ARC, ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu, successfully launched the high-altitude Pico balloon ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu-12 from the Eisterfark Point Lighthouse as part of the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend. The payload is a whisper beacon transmitting on the 10-meter band, channel 24, at 20 milliwatt. Within 3 hours, the balloon ascended to 12,320 meters, where it recorded a temperature of minus 30 degrees centigrade and a solar panel voltage of 4.05 volt. From there, it crossed the coastline and began its journey over the Indian Ocean towards Australia. Initial speed reports showed 107 kilometers per hour on the first day, but in the following days, the balloon accelerated to way over 200 kilometers per hour. At 0756 UTC on the morning of Thursday, 28 August, ZR1 Echo Romeo Zulu-12 reawakened and confirmed it had completed its first circumnavigation of the Earth. By Friday, 5 September, it is about to complete the lap number 2 of planet Earth. The first lap took 12 days from 16 to 28 August. Lap 2 will possibly take 9 days from September the 5th. It is great to see the interest and plans from amateurs in Mauritius to launch a Pico balloon soon. Follow the ZS Pico balloon WhatsApp group. Your propagation report. Honus Kutsia, ZS6 Bravo Zulu Papa, reports that the solar activity is expected to be at low to moderate levels during the week. There are currently 10 sunspot regions with simple to slightly complex magnetic configurations visible. There's a high probability for C and M-class solar flares. If you want to do your own frequency predictions, the expected effective sunspot number for this week will be around 108. The 30 to 10 meter bands may provide some DX fun. For more information, please visit the website spaceweather.sansa.org.za. And finally, a diary of some upcoming events. Tonight, a lunar eclipse over South Africa starting at 17 hours 28 CAT. 13 September, the European SOTAR Day and the Africa FT4 DX Contest. 13 and 14 September, the ZS SOTAR Spring Weekend. 16 September, the start of the SARL 6 Meter Challenge. 22 September, the Spring Equinox. 22 to 24 September, Rosh Hashanah. 24 September, National Braai Day and the Sandton Power Hour Tech Talk. 27 and 28 September, the CQWWRTTY contest. 28 September, the ZS1 QSO party. To conclude our bulletin, a recap of our main news story. The ZS Summit on the Air Spring Weekend is just around the corner, taking place on Saturday 13 and Sunday 14 September. The European SOTAR Day takes place on Saturday 13 September, so there is an opportunity for DX contacts as well. More information is available on the SOTAR POTAR ZS WhatsApp group and in the 2025 SARL contest manual. You will find all the information about logging your contacts. This concludes our bulletin for this morning. We invite clubs and individuals to submit news items of interest to radio amateurs and shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans if possible by uploading the news item at mysarl.org.za/news-inbox. Or by sending the items to news@sarl.org.za no later than the Friday morning preceding the bulletin date. You're welcome to join us every Sunday morning for the weekly radio program Amateur Radio Today at 10 hours CAT. The program can be heard on VHF and UHF repeaters countrywide and relayed on 7115 kHz lower sideband by Louis ZR4 Delta Juliet Lima. In Cape Town, you can listen at 10:30 CAT on the 145.7 MHz repeater with echo link to ZS1 Delta Charlie Charlie-R by Dave ZS1 Delta Foxtrot Romeo. A rebroadcast by Andy ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee can be heard on Monday evenings at 19:30 CAT on 3620 kHz. We welcome your signal reports, comments and suggestions. Please send these by email to artoday@sarl.org.za. You have listened to a news bulletin compiled by Andy Kearns, ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee, proofread by Paul Johnson, ZS1 Sierra, and read by Harmony Rosmus, ZS6 Charlie Tango Alpha. From the news team, best wishes for the weekend.
Thank you there, Herman. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZS6 SRL. In the bulletin, you heard about the two transmissions on HF, the one on a Sunday morning on 7115 and also the 80-meter transmission on the Monday evening. If you are listening to these, please send us a reception report. You can write to us at artoday@srl.org.za and we will acknowledge that report by email. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZS6 SRL, and we now cross the United States for international news. Here is Newsline.
And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us to the global marketplace, where U.S. customers learn from many retailers around the world how America's tariffs will affect their ability to order imports. In France, one leading ham radio equipment supplier announced that it was among those companies halting deliveries altogether. Jeremy Booth, G4NJH, has that story.
Founded in France in 2014, PassionRadio.com has become a leading online seller of ham radio receivers, antennas and other equipment to customers around the world. As from the 25th of August, however, the company suspended all shipments to the US, noting that the French National Postal Operator has stopped accepting US-bound parcels. The company's director, David F1JXQ, told visitors in its website, "With constant changes in tariffs, shipping costs and carrier processes, we cannot guarantee fair or transparent conditions for our US customers any longer." Our priority is to restore a reliable and cost-effective shipping solution as soon as possible, unquote. He added that import duties are paid by the buyer, not the seller, when the purchased goods arrive in the US. The seller has no control over that. United Parcel and other shipping services are also reviewing their deliveries to the US. UPS expects to apply an extra international processing fee to all imports from anywhere outside the US starting on the 8th of September. Imports to Europe from the US remain unaffected. David said, quote, "Our collaboration with five US-based suppliers continues without disruption, as the European Union has not imposed any retaliatory tariffs or reciprocal 15% import duties on products arriving from the United States." Unquote. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
U.S. hams have also begun to feel the impact of another sweeping marketplace change. Low-cost purchases from overseas that were once not subject to such tariffs have lost that long-standing exemption. These so-called de minimis parcels are estimated to make up as much as 97% of packages imported. The elimination of this exemption also affects awards or merchandise ordered through SOTA. Awards manager Barry, GM4TOE, wrote on the SOTA Reflector on the 29th of August that he was unable to process any orders for low-value shipments to the U.S. The New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters is advocating for a new band plan, giving space to single sideband on 30 meters. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has more details.
Following the lead of the amateur band plan in place in Australia, the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters is recommending the establishment of a new 10 kHz wide subband for SSB on 30 metres. This change would divide the CW-only band in half, giving it 20 kHz at the bottom of the band. Digital mode operators would get 20 kHz of spectrum, double their current allocation, at the top of the band. Sideband's proposed 10 kHz would be found between 10.120 and 10.130 MHz. With SSB operation already legal in New Zealand, the association notes that only the approval of this revised band plan stands in the way of the change taking place. The proposal is for this to occur on a 12-month trial basis, with a review to take place in the final months. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
If you like keeping one eye on the sky, well, you may want to think about helping NASA keep track of the signals coming from the Artemis II test mission next year. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has those details.
NASA is looking for volunteers to track next year's Artemis II Orion spacecraft during the crewed mission's round-trip journey between the Earth and the Moon. The U.S. Space Agency is asking for those with the necessary capabilities to observe the Doppler shift on the Orion's S-band return link carrier signal. The monitoring is designed to achieve and keep a carrier lock solely for the purpose of tracking the spacecraft. Volunteers will not be transmitting or uplinking signals. Orion's S-band range is between 2200 and 2290 megahertz. The crew aboard the Artemis II test mission will be NASA astronauts Reed Wiseman, Kilo Fox 5, Lima Kilo Tango, the commander Victor Glover, Kilo India 5, Bravo Kilo Charlie, the pilot and Christina Hammock Cook, as well as the Canadian Space Agency's astronaut Jeremy Hansen, Kilo Fox 5, Lima Kilo Uniform. The launch is expected to be no later than April of 2026, and the flight will last an estimated 10 days. The planned flight follows the Artemis 1 mission of 2022, which featured an uncrewed Orion spacecraft that was tracked by 10 volunteers. NASA hopes to hear from prospective candidates no later than 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Monday, October 27th. For more details, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
We all know that when it comes to receiving signals well, it's all about the antenna. the antenna. Few people know that better than the scientists at NASA, which recently completed the deployment of the largest radar antenna reflector ever put into orbit, one that will keep an eye on conditions here on Earth. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells us more about it.
Unfolding, some say, like a huge hidden flower emerging in bloom, a radar antenna with a 39-foot or 12-meter diameter has been unfurled aboard a satellite in low Earth orbit following its launch in late July from India. The mission is known as NISAR, an acronym reflecting the partnership between NASA and the Indian Space Research Organization, ISRO. NISAR will be capturing detailed data about forest and wetland ecosystems undergoing change, about the impact of earthquakes on the Earth's crust and the motion of glaciers and sheets of ice over time. The mission is designed to help communities around the world plan ahead for natural disasters and implement recovery from them more efficiently. Karen St. Germain, director of NASA's Earth Science Division in Washington, D.C., said this project will go a long way toward using science to assist in decision-making under these difficult circumstances, from responding to disasters to formulating agricultural policy. The antenna reflector, made of gold-plated wire mesh, has been compared to the eye of the system, and it operates on both the L-band and the S-band. According to NASA, the system that operates on the L-band is particularly suited to penetrate forest canopy and clouds. The S-band system has particular sensitivity to light vegetation and moisture and snow. The unprecedented joint satellite project will collect an estimated 80 terabytes of data daily. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Satellite enthusiasts in Japan are optimistic about their new open-source multimode linear transponder. And John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us why.
The Japan Amateur Satellite Association, or JAMSAT, has announced progress in its development of an open-source multimode linear transponder for amateur radio on CubeSats. The project is called Blueberry Jam. The international team working on the project believes it'll have a model available by the middle of 2026 and hopes to make it available to satellite developers and universities where CubeSats are being prepared for flight. According to a report by AMSAT News, Blueberry Jam will support linear operation and will have the potential for delay modes, data handling, and other digital capabilities. Because of the project's fully open-source design, the ham radio community can expect to have access to design documents and details about the transponder's development. The ultimate goal is to have up to 10 spacecraft in flight with the transponder on board. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZS6 SRL. Well, we now go to Cape Town for our weekly Hamnet report. Here is Dave Rees, ZS1 DFR.
Afghanistan experienced a magnitude 6 earthquake in its eastern border area with Pakistan on Sunday, the 31st of August at 21 hours 17 Central African time. The epicenter of the quake was a mere 6 kilometers below the surface in a seismically active area because of ongoing friction between the Eurasian and the Indian tectonic plates. The earthquake struck just before midnight local time on Sunday in a mountainous region near the city of Jalalabad, along the eastern border with Pakistan. It was of a relatively low 6.0 magnitude, but its epicenter was shallow at 6 kilometers underground, resulting in strong shaking on the surface and a series of aftershocks. By Friday, GDAX was reporting a death toll of 2,205, with injuries to 3,604 people and the destruction of 6,782 houses. People in the surrounding areas affected by the earthquake number about 497,000, of whom 263,000 are children. Most of the dead and injured were sleeping indoors at the time of the earthquake and were crushed by collapsing buildings. Because of the remoteness of the affected areas and also blockage of road networks from landslides caused by the earthquake, the exact death toll may take a long time to find out. Rural communities in Afghanistan can't afford sturdy and manufactured building materials. Because of this, they build homes with locally available natural materials such as earth, stone, and raw lumber. Such buildings do not follow engineered designs, building codes, or formal professional standards that prevent easy damage by earthquakes in wealthier countries. A typical form of construction in Afghan rural areas is walls made of mud bricks or stone masonry. This is known as monolithic construction. Such construction is unable to resist the strong side-to-side shaking caused by an earthquake. As a result, buildings easily tumble and crush people. Reports of collapsed rubble where there were once buildings are emerging widely from Afghanistan, as was also the case in previous earthquakes. More than one aftershock has been recorded in the area, the last of magnitude 5.6 being measured on the 4th of September at 18 hours 56 Central African time. Next door, Pakistan has experienced the heaviest monsoon flooding in 40 years. GDAX says that the flooding is due to unprecedented water releases from the Sutlej, Chenab and Ravi rivers. This is affecting more than 2.4 million people and displacing more than 1 million people. As of 6th of September, 884 fatalities and 1,182 injuries had been reported, while the UN reported 1.8 million evacuations and the creation of over 700 relief camps sheltering 12,500 people. Meanwhile, Portugal is mourning a devastating crash of a funicular train in Lisbon called the Elevador da Gloria, which lost control as the carriage was coming down a steep hillside, derailed and crashed into a building. Funiculars consist of two carriages on each end of a very strong cable. As one carriage comes down the hill on its end of the cable, the other carriage goes up the hill. In this way, a train coach can ascend or descend a steep slope in a controlled manner. It seems, though not proven, that the cable snapped and the descending coach's brakes were unable to slow the 20-ton carriage down or stop it. 16 people of many nationalities were killed and at least 20 injured. The company that operates the Elevador da Gloria has said regular inspections, including daily checks, had been carried out as required. It is therefore unlikely that negligence was at work. Portugal has declared 3 days of national mourning after the accident. The city of Cape Town's Disaster Risk Management held its annual Kuberg Nuclear Power Station exercise in conjunction with Eskom this last Thursday, the 4th of September. Hamnet has a memorandum of understanding with Disaster Risk Management and was represented at the exercise by Dani ZS1 Oscar Sierra Sierra, who sent me this report. He says, "The annual Kuberg Nuclear Power Station exercise was held by City of Cape Town's Disaster Risk Management on Thursday, the 4th of September 2025, in conjunction with Eskom and many other national, provincial and local agencies. This is a mandatory exercise that the City Disaster Management and Eskom must conduct to test the readiness of the various departments and agencies that must respond if there were to be a real nuclear disaster. The exercise is also important to identify shortcomings that must be improved on, as well as for the various departments and agencies to practice their own skills and how to operate together with other agencies. Hamnet's role is one of emergency communications. Hamnet is present to monitor developments, as it is essential to have a situational awareness if deployment is required. If communication dead spots are encountered, or if communications completely fail at any location, a Hamnet member would be deployed to that location to ensure communications can be maintained with the decision makers in the strategic room. For this exercise, Hamnet deployed Dani ZS1 Oscar Sierra Sierra, assisted by Yanni ZS1 Juliet Fox Kilo and Sean ZS1 Lima Echo Delta. The exercise started off with the situation being simulated at Kuberg Nuclear Power Station, which escalated to the point that an activation SMS was sent out at 9:30 for all agencies to deploy to their various posts. Such a deployment is all pre-planned and consists of some agencies deploying to one of the mass care center locations, others to traffic roadblocks, the mobilization of two passenger bus services for evacuation, and others to their pre-allocated seats in the strategic room at Goodwood Disaster Risk Management Center. Hamnet took the opportunity to test their simplex radio communications between the strat room and the auditorium in the building, and the mesh-tastic radios were also tested, with one being situated at the border of the Kuberg Nature Reserve. A quick debrief was done when things got quieter nearer the end of the exercise, And it was interesting to note that over repeated exercises, there are newer faces asking new questions, as well as more experienced members identifying deeper issues that may arise. This is the whole point of holding exercises and drills, after all. The all clear was given at 13:40, and the exercise ended. Thank you, Donnie. I believe there may be a follow-up report in a future edition of Radio ZS. And this is a very disappointed Dave Rees, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo, packing my green and gold jersey away till next week and reporting for Hamnet in South Africa.
Thanks, Dave, for an extensive report. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSXSRL. Yeah, well, what can we say about the rugby? It was disappointing, but maybe next week we'll do better. Next coming up on our agenda on Amateur Radio Today is the report on satellites. And for that, we go to Durban, where Dave Long, ZS5 Foxtrot Romeo, is standing by with the AMSAT-SA satellite report, which incidentally will also be available later today on www.mzsa.org.za.
MO-122 Silent, recovery efforts underway. MO-122 or 122 MESAT-1, which carries an AMSAT linear transponder module, went silent sometime after the collection of the last recorded telemetry frame on August the 25th. Analysis of the telemetry collected shows nothing suspect or out of the ordinary, and the AMSAT command team is working with the satellite owners to see if its operations can be restored. Satellite operators are encouraged to monitor the beacon and transponder frequencies for signals. Be sure to report any reception at the AMSAT Live OSCAR satellite status page. NASA seeks volunteers to track Artemis II mission. NASA seeks volunteers to passively track the Artemis II Orion spacecraft as the crewed mission travels to the Moon and back to Earth. The Artemis II test flight, a launch of the agency's SLS, which is Space Launch System Rocket, and Orion spacecraft, will send the NASA astronauts Reid Wiseman, Victor Glover, and Christina Koch, along with the CSA, or that is the Canadian Space Agency, astronaut Jeremy Hansen, on an approximately 10-day mission around the Moon. Targeted for no later than April 2026, will rely on NASA's Near Space Network and Deep Space Network for primary communications and tracking support throughout its launch, orbit, and re-entry. However, with growing commercialization, NASA wants to further understand industry's tracking capabilities. The collaboration opportunity builds upon a previous request released by NASA's SCAN, which stands for Space Communications and Navigation Program, during the Artemis 1 mission, where 10 volunteers successfully tracked the uncrewed Orion spacecraft in 2022 on its journey thousands of miles beyond the Moon and back. During the Artemis 1 mission, participants ranging from the International Space Agency's academic institutions, commercial companies, non-profits, and private citizens attempted to receive Orion signals and use their respective ground antennas to track and measure changes in the radio waves transmitted by Orion. By offering this opportunity to the broader aerospace community, we can identify available tracking capabilities outside the government, said Kevin Coggins, NASA's Deputy Associate Administrator for SCAN at NASA headquarters in Washington. This data will help inform our transition to a commercial-first approach, ultimately strengthening the infrastructure needed to support Artemis missions and our long-term Moon-to-Mars objectives. Now onto some satellite shorts from all over. Congratulations to Max, SA5IKN/EI6KC, who has become the first person with three ARRL DXCC satellite awards. Most recently, he received DXCC satellite number 542 as EI6KC. This was also the first DXCC satellite awarded in Ireland. He also holds DXCC satellite number 385 as M0SKN from England and DXCC satellite number 421 as SA5IKN in Sweden. Max also holds satellite worked all zone awards from all three entities. TEN-CO-2 is expected to be deployed from the International Space Station on October the 21st, 2025. TEN-CO-2 includes a VU linear transponder, a digitalker, a camera system, and a 5.8 GHz CW beacon. Information can be found at iaru.amsat-uk.org, and you can follow the links from there. Now to some passes for today, Sunday the 7th of September and all times in Central African time. The International Space Station, 1543 to 1553, SO 50 or Saudi Sat 1C, 1905 to 1917, and Chapisa Sat 1504 to 1516. Bearing in mind that these are the best passes for today, but not the only passes. This is ZS5FR for AMSAT SA.
You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. We welcome reception reports, and you can write to us at artoday@srl.org.za, artoday@srl.org.za, and look forward to your reception reports. We don't get often reports, and we would really like to know where you're listening, what repeater, or are you listening on one of the HF frequencies. Drop us that line, artoday@srl.org.za. Well, next we back here in Pretoria, and we're going to talk about matters VHF in Focus on VHF and Above with Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu.
There are still three pickup balloons in the air, and they are all doing well. The current status of the balloons are ZS1 Echo Romeo Zulu, transmitting a 10-meter whisper beacon, that was launched on the 16th of August, was last heard yesterday, having left South Africa on his third trip around the globe. ZS4 Sierra Romeo Kilo, launched on the 23rd of August, was last heard yesterday approaching the Pitcairn Islands between Australia and South America. This balloon is the slowest so far, making its way around the southern hemisphere. And then, ZS6 Sierra Romeo Charlie, which was also launched on the 23rd of August, also last heard yesterday over Uruguay in South America. The amazing thing to see is the paths, speeds and heights that these balloons follow. Some of them tear along at 250 km an hour, while others, like ZS4 SRK, seems to be on a leisurely paced scenic tour of the southern hemisphere. It all depends on the height that the balloon settles in after being launched, which air mass it ends up in, and how the ever-changing weather patterns in the troposphere determines the path of the balloon. These picker balloons are really attracting a lot of interest, and there are a number of new groups that are looking into launching their own picker balloons. Well done to everyone. The 2-meter TEP season is on the go, and why not? Victor 51 Whiskey Whiskey is on the air every evening, again along with the southern European stations who are all trying to make a contact with him. There is a lot of experimentation and testing using various modes to try and make a contact. At the same time, the amateurs in the Arabian Gulf and the southern Indian Ocean islands are also attempting TEP contacts under slightly different conditions. And Bernie ZS4 Tango X-ray is active this weekend as Victor 5 stroke ZS4 Tango X-ray from Grid Juliet Hotel 70, which is southwest of the Etosha National Park. After the presentation by Derek ZS5Y on Meteoscatter, there has been a lot of activity on 2-meter Meteoscatter, and over the weekends the group is particularly busy. Why not review the video on the YouTube channel of AMSAT SA at www.youtube.com/@AMSAT SA9927/videos and have a go at some meteor scatter. While there is not currently a meteor shower taking place, there are always meteors entering the Earth's atmosphere and leaving ionized trails as they burn up. We have been discussing receiving of alternative weather satellites following the switching off of the popular NOAA satellites. Mostly the antennas used have been turnstile type antennas, small Yagi antennas and so forth. I have come across an interesting webpage where a blogger named El Marco has posted using a helical antenna with a cookie tin lid as a reflector to receive the satellite signals. Take a look at Pentler, and I spell it, Papa Echo November Tango Lima Echo Romeo .blogspot.com/2025/08/satellites-without-dish.html for more information. That is all for this week. I apologize for a shorter program this week. Things are really busy right now with Hamnet activities, USAR training sessions once a week, attending disaster management meetings, the National Preparatory Working Group in-person meeting for WRC27 on Friday, with another virtual meeting being planned for the coming week to finish the work that was not yet completed during the in-person meeting, finding time to research and document the ongoing history of the league, and then still the other things that needs to be done at home. Most folk out there have no idea what happens behind the scenes promoting the amateur radio service and to ensure that we can continue to enjoy this fantastic hobby of ours. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands, or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio, or video clips to bjacobs@airday.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us at VHF News, allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements. And the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz.
Thank you very much there, Brian Jacobs, ZSX Yankee Zulu. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. We now cross to Bloemfontein for the HF report. Here is Dennis Green.
Good morning, here from Bloemfontein with this week's edition of HF Update. And firstly, some news about Clublog. The brand new Clublog server, care of the Northern California DX Foundation, is now in the data center, and I have finished configuration work to make it ready, Golf 7 Victor Juliet Romeo has announced. All services will be stopped early on 6 September, and Clublog will be down while the database migrates from the current primary server. Michael expects it will take a few hours to restore the service. Look for a noticeable leak in performance when the migration is completed, and I'm sure that process has been finalized and Clublog is up and running again. Equatorial Guinea is our first stop this morning. While waiting to depart for Annobon Island, IOTA Africa 039, Yankee Lima 2 Golf Mike and Echo Alpha 5 Echo Lima have been active as 3 Charlie 3 Whiskey from Bioka Island, Africa 010 Equatorial Guinea since the 1st of September. It has turned out that there are not only ferry services to Annobon, but also irregular flights. Their plan is therefore to be active from Bioka until 5 September and then fly to Annobon using the call sign 3 Charlie 0 Whiskey on the 6th of September, barring changes to their flight schedule. QSL is via Clublog's OTRS preferred, or then direct to Yankee Lima 2 Golf November. Full logbook and world update after 6 months. And for all the information, you can go to https://lima-romeo-lima.lima-victor/3charlie0whiskey_3charlie3whiskey_2025. Then to West Malaysia, where Yacek, Sierra Papa 5 Alpha Papa Whiskey, will be active from Tuamon Island, Asia 046 in West Malaysia between 9 and 16 September. He is still waiting for the call sign to be issued, and he will focus on 6 meters, but I don't rule HF activity out, he says. QSL is via Clublog's OQRS. Then down under, Paul Victor Kilo 5 Papa Alpha Sierra will be active as Victor India 8 Papa Oscar Lima between 13 and 29 September to celebrate Australia's 8th Annual National Police Week. QSL via Victor Kilo 5 Papa Alpha Sierra Direct or using the Bureau, Logbook of the World and EQSL. Then we come to Saudi Arabia. Hotel Zulu 95 November Delta, 7 Zulu 95 November Delta and 8 Zulu 95 November Delta are the special call signs for the Saudi Amateur Radio Society to celebrate Saudi National Day between 4 and 23 September. QSOs will be uploaded to Clublog. Based on the number of lunar years, Saudi National Day commemorates the renaming of the Kingdom of Najd and Najd to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia on 23 September 1932. Just an interesting note, the abbreviation for the Saudi Amateur Radio Society is the same as the South African Revenue Services. National societies from the Gulf Cooperation Council neighboring countries are expected to join the celebrations and be active around 23 September, including the Bahrain Amateur Radio Society, Alpha 91 Alpha Romeo Sierra, the Kuwait Amateur Radio Society, 9 Kilo 9 Kilo Sierra Alpha, the Royal Omani Amateur Radio Society, Alpha 43 Kilo Sierra Alpha, and the Emirates Amateur Radio Society, Alpha 60 Amateur Radio Society. The Dodecanese is our next stop, where Claudio Hotel Bravo 9 Oscar Alpha Uniform will be active as Sierra Victor 5 stroke Hotel Bravo 9 Oscar Alpha Uniform from Karpathos Island in the Dodecanese, Europe 001, between 13 and 25 September. He will operate SSB and CW on 42.6 meters with QSL via Logbook World, EQSL or direct to the home call. Then to Luxembourg. Lima X-Ray 25 Golf Delta Hotel on the air from 3 September to 3 October and Lima X-Ray 25 Golf Delta Golf on the air from 3 October to 3 November are the special call signs for the radio amateurs of Luxembourg, Luxembourg's IRU Society, to mark the Troon Wissel, the ascension to the throne of Prince Guillaume, who is set to become Grand Duke on 3 October upon the abdication of his father, the Grand Duke Henry. QSL for both call signs is via Clublog's OQRS. Across the channel to England. Celebrating the 45th anniversary of the first Camel Trophy, special event station Golf Bravo 45 Charlie Tango will be active between 12 and 14 September, primarily on 40 and 20 meters SSB. The operators have all been part of the Camel Trophy communications team for multiple events. The Camel Trophy was an off-road vehicle-orientated competition that was held annually between 1980 and 2000. And for more information, visit qrz.com for Golf Bravo 45 Charlie Tango. Next two items, you either need a kilt or a wee drum. Scotland, Willie Golf Mike 4 Zulu November Charlie will be active holiday style as Golf Sierra 8 Victor Lima from the Isle of Col, IOTA Europe 008. Between 7 and 12 September, you will operate CW, SSB and digital modes on 40 to 6 meters with QSL via Mike 0 Oscar Extra Oscars OQRS. Then Paul Golf 4 Papa Victor Mike will be active holiday style as Golf Mike 4 Papa Victor Mike from the Isle of West Burra in the Shetland Islands, IOTA Europe 012 between 13 and 18 September. He will operate CW and SSB on 40 to 10 meters. QSOs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World, Clublog and EQSL. Paper cards will not be provided. Then further north to Svalbard, Tom Oscar Hotel 6 Victor Delta Alpha stroke Lima Alpha 6 Victor Delta Alpha will be active again as Juliet Whiskey 6 Victor Delta Alpha from the Svalbard Amateur Radio Club in Longyearbyen, IOTA Europe 026 between 12 and 22 September. Activity will be on various HF bands using SSB and digital. QSL is via Club Logs OQRS preferred, Logbook of the World, EQSL, QRZ, Logbook, or via the Bureau to Oscar Hotel 6, Victor Delta Alpha. And he asks, do not send direct QSLs by mail. Then to Greenland. Bo, Oscar, Zulu 1, Delta, Juliet will be active again as Oscar X-ray 3, Lima X-ray from Nuuk in Greenland. IOTA North America 018 between 4 and 16 September. 1 or 2 day trips to IOTA Group North America 220 are possible. As always, this is a working trip and Bo will be active only in his spare time. QSL via Oscar Zulu 0 Juliet, Club Logs OQRS and a Logbook of the World. Then across the Atlantic to Canada for our last item. Mike Victor Echo 2, X-ray Bravo will be active again as Victor Yankee 0 Zulu Oscar Oscar from Southampton Island, IOTA North America 007 between 5 and 7 September, and from Flattery Island, North America 196 between 12 and 14 September. Activity in both cases will be 80 to 10 meters using CW and SSB, with QSL direct to Victor Echo 2 X-ray Bravo. And that's all this week here from Dennis, ZS4 Bravo Sierra for Amateur Radio Today.
Thank you, Dennis, for that report. Well, we're ending our program a little early today. Some of our inserts were shorter than I had planned for, and I often don't see them until late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. So until next week, once again, thanks to all our contributors. Thanks to our relay stations and thanks to you, our listeners. Drop us a line at artoday@srl.org.za or report in to your local relay station. Until next week, 73, have a great week.